Today there will be a second collection for the priory, for the support of the priory. There will also be adult catechism after Mass. We'll start maybe 10 or 15 minutes after Mass. This Saturday, there will be several baptisms, maybe six adult baptisms and one children's baptism. If you are able and you want to witness that, please feel free. It's at 1:30. And it could take a good couple of hours. The adult baptism, the form for the adult baptism is but it's quite impressive. If any of you wants to see that, it's not a get a chance to see an adult baptism every day, much less at six. Also, there will be a pie-making and chili-making contest in Louisiana at Our Lady of Good Success in a couple of weeks, November 23rd. So you're all welcome. If you want to sign up, if you want to participate, you want to enter something, have to sign up for that. You can contact me or next Sunday there will be service practice before Mass at 1:30. The fifth Sunday after Epiphany, the epistle is taken from Galatians chapter 3. Brethren, put ye on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the vows of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Any have a complaint against another. Even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so you also. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in songs, hymns, and spiritual gifts, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, all things do ye in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand for the Gospel, Matthew chapter 13. At that time Jesus spoke this parable to the multitudes. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and oversowed cockle among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and had brought forth fruit, then appeared also the cockle. And the servants of the good man of the house coming said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then hath it cockle? And he said to them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants said to him, Wilt thou that we go and gather it up? And he said, No, lest perhaps gathering up the cockle you root out the wheat also together with it. Suffer both to grow until harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather up first the cockle, and bind it into bundles to burn, but the wheat gather ye into my barn. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Suffer both to grow until harvest, and then gather them together, the cockles we burned, and the wheat into my barn. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, Pope Leo XIII says, Christians are born for combat, and the greater the intensity of the fight, the greater the triumph through God's grace. But the combat of Christians, as Christians, is different from the combat of the world. First, it is not one that we fight with physical weapons, powers, and our weapons must match combat. We must have spiritual weapons. On last Tuesday, we lost a battle in the ballot box. The Bloody Amendment 3 was passed. And I'm afraid it's going to be much more of that kind of thing. More defeats for us as our country progresses from bad to worse. There is much suffering ahead. There's a global crisis. The globalists are gaining more and more power. The US dollar is, it looks like it's going to be replaced as the international currency, which may well affect its stability, which will affect all of us. And it's good and natural to feel some fear over these things. Over the constant progress of evil. King Alfred the Great, back in the 800s, found himself in a similar crisis. The Vikings had conquered England. They walked in. And his King Alfred's forces, the other kings of England, Wales, Scotland, could not hold them back. They just kept coming. They were ruthless, cruel pagans, had no respect for God and his church, no respect for anyone's rights, no mercy. And attack after attack was successful and drove King Alfred and his people further and further back, decimated them again and again. Until one point he finds himself, at least as it's told by Chesterton in his poem, he's about at the end of his tether. All these people are scattered around, scattered to the winds. He's a king without a throne, without a hall, without a castle. And he's almost in despair. And then Our Lady appears to him. And he goes to her, makes his obeisance, and says, "Look, I won't ask for anything that the saints would ask. I'm not going to ask to know the secrets of heaven. I know better than that. But can you at least tell me something about my life, or at least my country? Will we ever win? Will we ever rejoice seeing the pagan go? Will we ever be able to drive them out?" And Our Lady said, "Well, you're wrong about the secrets of heaven, firstly, because any little maid walking in good thoughts and heart may stumble upon the secrets of heaven just by meditation. You can't get to know God's secrets. She says, the gates of heaven are lightly locked, and you do not carve our gold. But you're also wrong about the second thing, the second request. Because whether a man win or lose, to no good man is told. Whether he fail or whether he win, to no good man is told. You and all the kind of Christ go gaping in the dark and go singing to your shame. Our good Lord has overcome the world. He said in those words, have courage, because I have overcome the world. The war itself is already won. And whether we win or lose any particular battle is up to God. For his ends, he will decide and take care of us. If we need to make material preparations for a coming crisis, by all means, sometimes we make them prudently. And keeping God's almighty power in mind, God's providence. But the more important is the spiritual preparation, our spiritual attitude. We are followers of a crucified God. And the only way to follow him, the only place to follow him to, is to Calvary. He told us we have to pick up our cross and follow him every day. Where did he carry his cross? Christians must be crucified. When they are not following Christ, suffering is part of our life. It's a necessary part. Without it, we do not become what we were made to be. We have to trust in the good God. Build up our trust. Practice it. Repeat it. Make acts of trust, acts of supernatural hope. The good God is in control, and nothing can happen to us that he does not love. If you fail, or if you win, to no good man is told, because it doesn't matter who wins the battle of our time. Enemies, catastrophes, one world order, everything, absolutely everything, works together unto good for them that love God. They can take away our rights, they can take away our health, they can take away, they can indicate shots, they can take away our livelihood, our gasoline, they can take away our guns. They cannot take away our faith. Only we can get that away. After his vision of Our Lady, King Alfred goes gathering up the remnants of his army, of his nobles, and saying, we need to go try one more time. And the first guy he gets to says, you're always coming and telling us we need to try one more time. And it costs me a lot of my livestock, it costs me a lot of my men, it costs me a lot of time I could be using for the crops. You always say we'll win. And King Alfred said, well, this time it's different. I come with a message from Our Lady. She says she doesn't promise we'll win. But it will be fighting for her. He said, well, to be great, we must go to battle to break and be broken. God knows when, but I know for whom. That's the key. We must fight. Probably only spiritually. We must suffer. And perhaps we'll be broken. But it is for God. It's for Our Lady. And they will decide the ending. They will decide the battle. After all, we are not prosperity gospel Protestants. We're not here for a paradise on earth. We do not believe that if you are good, you won't suffer. cannot believe we will defeat modernism and communism and Freemasonry and Democrats by, I don't know, perhaps by any means. Certainly not by our own means, certainly not by lobbying or by revolution. In fact, defeat is part of our crucifixion. Humanly speaking, from the human point of view, Calvary was defeat. He lost all his followers, lost everything he had built, lost his life. From that, and in that way, the martyrs always lose. But the martyrs are happy about it. They sang on their way to the lions. The men signed on the cross of Christ go gaily in the dark. So the state of the world is bad and rapidly getting worse. There may be great suffering in store for us, more likely for our children. But we must not lose our peace of soul over that, as if somehow the enemies of God, in making progress in their plans, are somehow defeating God, somehow getting away from Him. And we must not insist on another way, knowing that this is the path that leads to our sanctity. We must not reject the cross, no matter what form it takes. Think of the thieves on Calvary. They thought they had come to the end of their lives, lives that ended in tragedy. When they were crucified by the side of Christ, crucified next to Christ, it was the defining moment of their lives. It was their day of mercy and love and everlasting bliss. It was what they were made for. They were made for that one crucifixion. For them, there was only one big cross, which was dangerous because either great glory through heroism or damnation. How do we do with our little crosses? And how do we look forward to big looming crosses? We do not want to avoid a martyr's palm if that's what God has coming, if that's what God has planned. We will be faithful in the big when we are faithful, if we have been faithful in the little things, in the little crosses. And after all, if God is with us, who is against us? If God is with us, what suffering can we not endure? What can happen? What can they do to us that we can't take? Have courage, says our Lord, for I will overcome the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.